Welcome everyone to another edition of Bigfoot Notes from the Field. I'm your host, William Jevning. Oftentimes, because children are out playing unsupervised near forested areas, they see a lot of things that may or may not get reported. If they don't say anything, it could be due to ridicule factors or other concerns, or maybe they think it was nothing. Sometimes if they do say something, and I can relate to this because I was 14 the first time we found footprints of Sasquatches, and we found three sets, and my parents and sisters made a lot of fun of us for seeing that or for saying what we saw, and it makes kids not want to say anything. But it's always very interesting to talk to a young person who's seen something, because they sort of have an unfiltered view of the world yet. You know, it's not clouded by a lot of things that they're learned in school or taught by friends or family members. So they pretty much say what they see and hear. And today that's what we're going to be doing, is listening to an interview that our Northeastern Regional Director, Jeremiah Fountain, recorded. Jeremiah is with me today. Hi, Jeremiah. How are you today?
Hey, Will. How's it going?
Very good, my friend. Very good. Now, AJ, let me ask you first, how did he come to contact you?
Well, originally last fall, would have been a year ago, September actually, his aunt called me. She had been looking around on the internet for someone to call. Her husband's parents, they own a camp up in the Adirondacks, actually very, very close to one of the spots we've used as one of our main research areas up here, pretty very remote area. You know, it's a little summer camp, and they started having issues with these things, rocks being thrown, screaming at the kids, just activity on and off, you know, over the last couple of years, you know, and they'd been getting concerned. She called me, and they didn't want any part of, you know, looking for these things, or they just want them gone, you know.
Now let me ask you, how did she find out how to contact you?
She found our website.
Okay, I didn't plug the website. For everyone, Jeremiah's talking about our website, williamjevning.com. And that's a great resource for people. If you've seen something,
yep,
go on the website, williamjevning.com. Place your cursor over. You'll see some things at the top as you scroll down. One of those items is research groups. Place your cursor over that, and you'll get a drop-down menu. And if you go to any of them that are regionals, they'll have contact information, and you can contact your people like Jeremiah. Jeremiah has his email and phone number there, and you can get in touch with us. So anyway, she contacted you.
Yes. She you know, she filled me in to make a long story short. She filled me in, asked me if I had any, you know, tips as to how to kind of keep them at bay, if you will. You know, I gave her a couple ideas, and you know, that was basically it for then. And then this past spring, I got another call, and it was actually from this little boy's mom, who would be this lady's sister-in-law. Okay. She's, you know, this lady's husband's sister. Now, she proceeds to tell me what we're going to listen to next, what had happened one day when her other sister-in-law took this little boy out, and a couple of his cousins out on one of the trails behind this camp for a walk one particular afternoon during a family barbecue. So this wasn't something that happened at the dead of midnight, you know, or in the wee hours of the morning. This was something that took place around dinner time, you know.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a listen to the audio.
Okay.
And then we'll pick up afterwards, and we'll discuss what happened, okay?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, so stand by.
Take me from the top, man. What happened? Tell me what happened.
Well, before Well, as we were walking, I just got myself situated next to my little cousin that I know the most.
Okay.
And he was younger than me.
All right.
So we just kept walking until we heard some sounds.
Okay.
And then I can't remember what exactly happened, but mm-hmm. I knew we were being chased by something.
Okay.
But what really got me scared was when my little cousin started to cry, and then I heard almost a repeated whistle that okay, I know no one else could do.
Let me stop you right there a second, bud. Now, when you say you guys were being chased, now, what brought you to that conclusion, bud? Like, what brought you to the conclusion that you were being chased? Like, when you say chased, you actually mean, like,
almost followed.
Okay, alright, so it wasn't a full-blown chase.
Yet,
or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it wasn't, what I mean by that is, right from the bat, it wasn't like, it wasn't just a up full-on, you didn't feel that something just started chasing you in a full speed right away, right?
No.
Okay. So, all right, I'm sorry for interrupting you, like, not trying to be rude, I'm just, something will trigger off a question, you know what I mean? So just bear with me.
Well, as you asked how, I thought you were going to ask this question, like, how did I come to know that we were being followed or chased?
Okay.
Well, I think what this happened was that the sounds kept getting, like, really close, and then, like, apparently someone in the back saw something, so
okay.
We just, like, started running.
Okay.
My little cousin, like, really got scared, so he started to cry a little bit.
Okay.
And it was like a two-lane thing. My little cousin started to cry. He was, like, right next to me. And then I heard, like, right next to my ear, a repeated whistle.
Okay, let me stop here right there real quick. And the little cousin you were just referring to, how old was that particular one?
About 5 or 6.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Okay, now, I'm sorry, buddy. Take me back to that point again. So, you said you were directly next to him, right?
Yes.
Okay, and take it from there. You said you knew he started to
cry
a little bit. So, do you think he said? So you said you thought he saw something.
Yes.
Okay, is that just the impression you got, just knowing your cousin so well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, at first, like when like the sounds, because there was like people like way in the back, I thought the grown-ups are like trying to trick us a little bit.
Okay.
Until like I.
Okay, AJ, we had some technical issues going on there for a second, but I think you were just about to say that your cousin was crying, and then you thought that you thought he saw something, and you thought the adults were trying to play a joke on you?
Yes. My little cousin has, like, a very active imagination, like...
Okay.
So, I thought he...
Now, is this the five-year-old?
The five-year-old, yes. For now, I'm just going to call him E.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Yeah, that's fair enough, bud.
So, like, I know E very well.
Okay.
And I know that he has a very active imagination. Like, for
okay.
example, if you tell him one scary thing, he'll cry.
Okay.
Almost.
Right.
So, like, I thought he was just doing that until, like, I heard the repeat whistle right next to my ear.
Okay.
It was almost like a go, kind of like this. Oh, and it
wow.
kept going high and low. So, like, each high was about 15, and each low was about 15. So, that's 30 tiny whistles. So.
Okay, I think I understand what you're saying. So, what you're saying is, the demonstration you just did. Now, do it again real quick for me. Oh, wow, that's pretty impressive, man. I don't even think I could do that if I tried. But, okay, so you're... I understand what you're saying. So they were little mini whistles is what you were saying.
Yes, pretty much.
Gotcha. Now, that initial one, was that, okay, when you say 15 tiny whistles,
Now that they were all, did they seemed like they were all blended together, correct? That's what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, how many more times did that...
The repeated whistle
happen? Yes.
I honestly don't know, because after that I got really worried, so I just closed my ears.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, that's, it's a scary situation, man. A lot of people don't understand that. They can't understand until they're in that situation, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to be put in something like that. And trust me, buddy, I understand. So, you, at that point, what happened next, man?
Well, after that, I closed my ears and I just kept running. And we stopped at, like, a corner. Well, like, we started to get, like, closer together almost. So, like, we just kept running, kind of.
Okay.
Until, like, we came up to a corner, like, there was a fence, and someone said, hop the fence, and then...
Okay. Now...
My aunt grabbed me and said, don't run.
So, okay, like, well, okay, well, one sec. Why do you think she told you that?
Because, like... For example, I'm just going to use a T-Rex, for example. Like, in the movies, they always say, don't move.
Okay.
So, I just, like, kind of, like, followed my aunt's lead. But I don't think some of the other people did. So that's why I heard, like, someone say, jump the fence.
Right. So, now, your mom kind of filled me in on, like, a lot of this. And I know where you're going from here. And it kind of, your aunt was pretty smart for grabbing you like that. And this encounter for, you know, what you're about to tell us all next kind of shows you why you shouldn't really run in these situations. Yeah. I'll let you finish up, buddy. I'll shut my mouth. But, so she grabbed you, you know, kind of yelled at you guys, told you to, you know, not to run and to basically, see, what do you think she was telling you? To try to back out of the situation?
Yeah,
try to act normal or as normal as you could, right?
Yeah.
All right. Quickly, had your aunt, the one that you were with, ever had an experience?
Well, yes, I think she did. Like, I think multiple experiences.
Okay.
With my uncle.
Oh, okay. So the great uncle you were talking about.
Yes.
Was that his wife that had that passed away?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So it makes sense to me now. So they probably had an encounter together, maybe?
Yeah, as far as I know, multiple encounters.
Okay. Okay, I'm just curious. It doesn't... Yeah, I'm just curious, buddy. So she might have known one or two things about all this stuff then.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you, man. When she... So did your other cousins, so were they pretty upset, or...?
I honestly just stuck to myself and my other little cousins, because I didn't know most of the other ones.
Right.
My other little cousins. So okay. I just stuck to the one I'm most known to myself.
All right. Now, this is going to sound like a weird question, but... I'll explain to you why I ask, but did your aunt have a firearm on her?
Yes.
Okay. She did. Now, do you know, I mean, did she always carry a firearm in the woods?
Yes, I think it was a pistol.
Okay. All right. Okay. And the reason I asked that is because I know in our field, a lot of the times we don't even go out. We don't go out without one. And, you know, that's why I'm just trying to put things together, because, it'll just, you know, it'll help me be able to look at your, you know, look at the story, you know what I mean? With, you know, without me actually being there and looking at the whole, area, the property, it'll help me understand everything better. So yeah, if she was carrying a weapon out there, you know, just going for a stroll after a day at the lake, then she was a woodswoman then. She knew what she was doing, and it sounds like she knew one or two things about these things. So okay, sounds like you were in pretty decent hands then.
Well, in the beginning, like, as a joke, I actually followed along, like, some of them, we were actually kind of looking for them.
Okay.
A little bit. So me and my little cousin, we got, like, these little branches and started knocking on the trees, like,
you know,
they all communicate.
Ooh.
And, really? Like, some of the grown-ups hollered a little bit, so.
Okay, well, I'll share a little bit of information with you. That might have not been, That might have, and I tell this to everyone, that might have been what stirred him up, but, to be honest with you, you know, a lot of people think that means one thing, where in all reality, it means another.
Yeah, I knew that, but
at the time, I
actually didn't think, like, we would actually encounter one. Because we were, like, in, like, close to the house, so that's why I follow along, like, just as a joke.
I gotcha, yeah. You know, there's other groups out there that, you know, think these things do that for one purpose, whereas in reality, it's totally, you know, not that, you know. But, you know, aside from that, so... At that point, you know, how did things transpire from when your aunt told you guys to kind of hold it together a little bit?
Well, we kind of like walked, but like a fast walk or a speed walk, kind of.
Yep, makes sense.
We huddled close together, so like in case anything happened.
Yep.
And then we kept doing that until we eventually got back to the house.
Okay, buddy. Now, how was your now? Could you tell if your aunt was shaken up at all?
Yeah, she was a little bit, but...
She held it together, huh, for you guys? Okay. Tell me about the throwing of the objects.
Well, I didn't know much of that because, I was in the middle, but I think most of the people in the back like saw sticks or pine cones or something like that.
Okay.
Like, towards them.
Okay.
And like, I think that helped a little bit when we got like closer together, kind of.
Right.
So in case like one of us got hit, we could just pick them up and then we can just try and go back to the house.
Kind
of
toss the little guys on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you're saying. All right. So did you on your way out? On your way back to the cabin, the camp, or whatever, your mom said that something or some things kind of stuck with you guys.
I kept hearing like things like traveling through the woods, like almost like sticks or something.
Okay.
But I think that would just like them trying to like officially get us out of their territory.
Okay, you mean the creatures?
Yes.
Okay.
Sasquatches.
I got you. No, that's what I'm saying. So you think that's what they were doing, huh? Trying to get you out of there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, you're a pretty mature guy for your age, so. You know, I think you're doing a really good job here, AJ, with this interview, and I think you know, you can answer these questions very well. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you this. Do you feel that if they had wanted to, they could have harmed you?
Yes, honestly, I do, because okay. There's like a couple of like really small ones, like.
You mean cousins?
Yes.
Okay.
Like really small ones.
Right.
I was about in the middle of age, so.
Right.
Obviously, yeah. Like, they could have picked us off one by one if they wanted
sure.
to. Like,
sure.
Because there was people in the back. So,
sure.
Like, especially the grown-ups, like.
Sure.
They were in the back, so.
Sure. And probably not, your older cousins probably not as weary as you would be either. Like, probably not, you know, like I keep saying, you seem like a pretty intelligent guy, and it seems like, you know, you're at least a thinking man, you know? You know what I mean? So, you know, that's pretty intense, buddy. So as far as like, have you seen much of your family since then?
Yes. Like, as I was saying, my little cousin, or E, I would say we go to the movies sometimes.
Okay.
We honestly don't talk about that so much stuff very often because of that, you know, single day.
Well, that's normal anyway, you know.
I mean,
now, and I understand that your mom was telling me that the rest of your family, your uncles, aunts, grandparents, etc., are kind of didn't the father, you know, this is, I think it'd be your mom's sister actually told her kids that it was actually herself and her husband in the woods, right?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
But my mom wasn't either.
Yeah,
she came back in the house.
Oh, without a doubt. I know. But they told them that to try to,
yeah,
so they wouldn't think it was a quote unquote Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right.
Personally, like, when, like, we were kind of, like, running, like, before we got, like, all pulled together, I had my little cousin go, like, on, like, more of, like, the see-through side of the woods.
Right.
And I had him go, like, ahead of me a little bit, just in case, like, something, like, really bad happened.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
Like,
well,
I don't know.
That's pretty brave, man. That's pretty brave. Now, so, bear with me. Sometimes I get so many questions in my head, they have trouble making it out of my mouth at one time. but when you got back to the house, now, do you think everyone knew that you guys were upset?
Yes, because we were all, like, me and my little cousin, honestly, or E, we, like, ran to the house, like, oh my god, we encountered a Sasquatch.
Right. Okay, so there had been, now I understand your mom's grandmother was actually from that area. She was born and raised up there.
Yeah.
So I mean, they all know that it's a wild area.
Yeah.
Up there, and as you know, and I understand since then, man, you've gotten pretty deep into this subject, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand from what your mom says. You're very interested in it, and you've always had an interest in primates, huh?
Yeah, and I even had, like, I typed in on my laptop sometimes, like most, like, unknown creatures, mm-hmm. and, like, I've seen, like, things that, like, not just Sasquatches, mm-hmm. or anything, but I've seen, like, really scary stuff, like,
right.
There was this one story, like, where this guy got into a sewer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was too big to be a rat,
mm-hmm.
and too small to be human.
Wow.
It had white glowing eyes, so.
Hmm. Wow.
And I thought I could see it spying in the video, but I don't know.
Huh.
Like, we've only scratched the surface of what could be out there, pretty much.
Oh, hey.
Especially the ocean.
I agree, buddy. I totally agree. Now, what are your theories on what these things are, buddy? These Sasquatch type creatures.
I actually think they're just primates that have been officially discovered.
Okay. Alright, fair enough.
But
yeah.
I think they're one of the most, like, what, like, most known, like, mystical creature. I'm just gonna say mystical creature.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying. They're the most well known of the cryptid creatures, is what you're saying.
Pretty much.
Okay,
like,
okay.
Compared to, like, the El Chupacabra or something.
Oh, okay. Now, I see what you're saying. So, what you're saying is they're, as far as any of the cryptids being real,
They're most of the knowledge. Yeah.
Yes, they're the most known. They're
one of the most known.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, bud. Oh, like on the BS scale and the the legit scale, On the BS cryptid, BS to legit cryptid scale, the Sasquatch would be on the legit end, and the other garbage would be on the BS end.
Yeah, unicorns or something.
Yeah, right, the unicorns. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, man. Now, tell me what you think about, how do I word this for you? Well, you're pretty mature for your age, so I'm just going to throw this out there. What are your views on people from what you've been through, to be honest with you, I grew up as a hunter, a woodsman. I don't know what I'd have done if that had happened to me. I mean, that was an up close and personal thing to happen at 10 years old, man.
Yeah.
That's very hairy situation. And I can tell you now, buddy, that you guys were in, that was a bad spot. That was a bad position to be in, man.
Yeah.
That was dangerous. You were in a dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that may, now that you've been through that and you know what these things are capable of, you're weary now. You know what I mean? What are your thoughts now on these people that try to pass these things off as like these magical friendly fairies that, you know?
Well, I say just like as any like other animal, don't try and mess with them. Don't like try and contain them.
Okay.
Kind of.
Yep.
Like, for example, a lion, like, they, like, make sure, like, they have their own territory.
Right.
Like, I seen them kill, like, other felines, like cheetahs or something.
Okay.
Just because they were in their territory. So I just say handle it like, probably like a gorilla clan or something like that.
Okay.
Because that's the only thing I could relate to them most as.
Okay. Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, there have been gorilla attacks, so.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm
sure.
Just saying, just like, handle them just as like that.
Sure, sure. No, that's an excellent point. And kind of in the same ballpark as that question, I understand that, I don't know if I should say this or not, because it's going on our podcast, but now, what do you think about certain, quote, unquote, groups out there that have certain TV shows that, and their theories that these things are all, that they're benign and harmless.
Well, I honestly think they're dumb and stupid, honestly.
Okay.
compared to the encounter we had.
Okay, yeah. Alright.
Like, sure, they've had left, how do I explain this? Like, kind of like threaded, kind of like dolls in people's porches.
Mm-hmm.
That's only because they're trying to communicate with them. Like, saying, like, it could be like voodoo or something.
Okay, I see what you're saying, yeah. So you think that's a bunch of hogwash is what you're saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have to tend to agree with you on that one, man. as far as like, I don't suppose you agree with the whole, you know, let me bring a pizza into the woods and leave it for you too. You know what I mean?
Because then they'll expect like, oh, wow. And we could just keep getting food out of this, pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You've got some good points, bud. Now, do you, and I understand from what your mom says, you've gotten to be quite the little researcher.
Yes. I had adopted a couple more animals, like, just to try and, like, scratch the surface of, so I know a little bit more about them. I keep researching them a little bit.
Okay. Awesome, man.
There is this one, like, channel, I don't know what it's called. It's, like, something, me and my friend's actually kind of, like, interested into, like, mythical beasts and something.
Yep.
So, I don't know the actual name of the channel, but I know it's discontinued. It used to be, I think, on History or Discovery.
Okay.
But had like a little eye in the middle of one of the letters.
Hmm.
I think my great uncle showed me a video of one before.
Okay. Hmm. Didn't think of what that would have been, bub. But
it was like something quest and.
Oh, Monster Quest! Okay, of course. You like that show, huh? Or...
Well, I've only seen one of them this past
episode. Okay. All right. Okay, so, you know, just a couple more questions, buddy, and then we're going to finish up here, but do you think, how do I want to word this? Do you think that... What do you think about the way these groups go out? And like I said before, remember how you were saying that you guys went out and knocked, or would you say you guys did?
We took sticks and knocked.
Right. And so then all of a sudden you start.
Now that I think of it, I could have been mixed communicating, saying oh, we're here to take over your territory. Or something. But the way I think the Sasquatches travel is, I think two or three of the males go out, and they have one male protecting the female, how do I say this, base, kind of?
Okay.
Or, if they have any young, they would keep them there, too.
Okay.
At least, one was, training how to, fight, or, protect themselves, I guess.
Okay, all right. No, I mean, hey, man, listen, you've got some good, you're on the right... You're on the path to being a good Sasquatch researcher, man. So now, your mom says you've been you've seen our website and our the JRG website, and so I was gonna throw this out there, man. What do you think about I'm one of the directors, and I talked to Mr. Jevning, and you know who Mr. Jevning is, right?
Yes.
Pretty
much the head boss.
He's the boss, that's right. So, yeah, I spoke with him, and we're going to be starting up a junior JRG. What would you think about coming on at some point here?
I would like to.
Okay.
But as I think of it about school and stuff.
Well,
I have to take that.
School always comes first, buddy.
Yeah, I have
always
to take that in consideration.
Always.
And
man.
I also do have band, so.
No, of course, buddy. We all have different things we do. And it's all for fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you're a bright guy. You're a smart dude. We'd love to have you aboard the JRG team, man. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you our info, or you already have our info. You've been on the site and you've got my phone number. Your mom's got my number and stuff. I'm going to give her Mr. Jevning's email. And, if you guys ever want to get in touch, I hope you do, because we'd love to have you on the JRG team, man. Get you, put you on the team as a... junior JRG team leader, man. So AJ, I tell you what, man, it was a pleasure. Thank you for coming on and talking to me about this. I know that it's not easy. I've had a couple encounters myself, and I'm here to tell you, you're handling this a lot better than I did, man. And I had face to face, nasty, but as an adult, I've had, and you're handling this a lot better, man. You're way tougher of a dude than I am, I'll tell you that much. For real.
I think that was because you have more physical kind of contacts, and there was more people with me than usual.
Right. But I'm going to tell you what, man, they agree. My stuff was just, visual stuff, man. But they were displaying some pretty sketchy behavior around you guys, and you kept a head on your shoulders, man. And, we've got to definitely applaud you for that, you did a great job, man. Like I said, you're definitely a tougher guy than me, man. You handled it good, and it's been a pleasure, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
And, hopefully we hear from you in the future, bud. Mm-hmm. And you know where to come if you know where to turn if you ever, have another encounter, man.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. It was nice having you.
It was nice having an interview.
All right, man. Thank you.
Okay. AJ is a really sharp kid. Now, I had taken out, for those listening, I had taken out about 15 minutes due to time restraints on the show. And a lot of the beginning of the interview was basically you're kind of establishing AJ's mindset and the fact that he's an extremely sharp young man.
Isn't he very, very, very intelligent? I like to do that with kids. You know, I'm sure you agree. You know, it's, I think it's important to kind of find out where they're at for the interview, you know?
So you sat down with him and tell me what your impressions were. I mean, they didn't actually see any of the creatures, but now, did anyone, you yourself or anybody else, go back there and take a look at the area? I mean, I know it was last year, but that's relatively close to your research area.
It is. That's to the one we have up near where that camp is. We're no more than, our spot up there is no more than, as the crow flies, maybe 10 miles.
So that area has a long and very active history of Sasquatch presence and behavior, correct?
It goes back hundreds of years, you know, to the colonial times. Hundreds of years, Native American to the, you know, ancient Mohawk lore. I mean, it goes way back. Yeah, it's a very, very active area.
So what were your thoughts as he was telling you all that?
You know, you have to be leery of the kid. You really got to listen to him close. But I tell you what, he impressed me for a little guy. Very intelligent. His detail, I thought, for an 11-year-old kid, I thought he did a great job. I mean, he seemed very sincere.
It struck me that he was very analytical.
Very, extremely, extremely analytical. Just a sharp, sharp little guy. He seemed very believable to me. I had he gave me no reason to feel otherwise, you know?
Yeah, he had mentioned getting some books about wildlife and I guess in order to learn about the area they were living in. Is that right?
Yeah, yes, because he wanted to, that's the funny thing. It's funny you mentioned that because when his mom called, we got to talking a little bit about that, and she told me that he's just obsessed now. You know, it really shook him up, you know, but she told me since then he's just, it's turned into a little obsession for him. You know what I mean? He's reading all the books he can, and, you know, so.
Let me ask you, now, since they didn't actually see one of the creatures, how did they know it was a Sasquatch?
Well, okay.
What made them think that?
Okay, the ant, unfortunately, the one that took them for the walk has unfortunately passed away since this whole event. Mm-hmm. Her, she's married to another one of the brothers, okay? He's actually a police officer at one of the neighboring towns up there. And he had an encounter from his fishing boat one day. He observed one of these things from shore when he was out fishing, taking his last cast before the sun went down. So it was his wife who took them for a walk. And she and him had, you know, their experiences with these things. And, you know, it was knowledge that, you know, these things were in the area. These people that live up in the sticks up here, they know. Sure. They know. I mean, they just don't talk about it, you know.
Was it information they were basically keeping from the kids, do you think? Or?
Well, yeah, I know they were. But the problem with that, as she was telling me, is older siblings, you know.
Okay.
That'll always, it always gets out somehow, stuff like that. But the way it freaked them out. It was typical Sasquatch behavior. And like I said, the aunt and her, the husband, the police officer, had their experiences before. And he said AJ told me he really didn't know what was going on at first.
Right.
You know, it shook his little world right up. You know, I can't even imagine. I mean, I know what it's like being an adult going through that. I can't imagine being 11 years old. But this thing,
now,
go ahead.
He mentioned there were younger and older kids with him.
Yes, there was.
And there was what, five or six kids?
There was five. There was two younger than he and two older.
Okay.
Yeah. And they all hightailed it out of there. There was loud, extremely loud vocalizations through some branches, and it paced him out of there. as they were getting the hell out of there. You know, it was a...
Yeah, and those kind of behaviors are fairly typical. We hear a lot of different encounters with those same elements.
Yeah, but you know what concerns me? What I told her when I spoke with her, I said, the concerning thing to me about this whole situation, okay, if these things are during that hour of the day, they're out following a bunch of children and a woman. They're harassing them in the woods, following them out like that. I mean, that to me isn't good. I mean, what do you?
No, that's probably not a good sign. Exactly
right. I mean, I know others in our field would, you know, state that would play the curiosity card, but I don't think so. I think there's more to it. I don't think that's good.
Yeah, you know, I've mentioned this before on different shows, where typically these things are hunting, and most predatory animals aren't going to be out in the open, especially around humans.
Right.
They hunt in stealth. They're following game animals, and pretty typical behaviors for a wild predatory animal. I think there's a problem when they present themselves in a more open fashion,
yeah,
with right. humans, because we actually, you know, even though we're kind of, I don't know if you want to say cityfied, but we've definitely lost touch with a lot of our roots as a species,
yep.
and what got us to this point. So we do kind of bumble along out in the woods. On the other hand, we're still fairly dangerous to most animals. And these creatures, one of the reasons they keep their distance from us is for that reason. So when they come out in the open like that, I think there's a problem. I think there's something, it's more than curiosity or something a little more insidious happening there from our perspective. Maybe for them it's probably just a pure survival behavior.
Yeah.
For us it's not so good.
Right, you know, especially being a group with a group of kids like that, you know, wow.
Well, and again, anything in the wild, you know, predatory animals will go after young, old,
for sure,
because it's an easy meal and it's less dangerous to them if they have to engage in some kind of a fight with the predator.
Well, and you know, that's just nature. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's nothing uncommon.
No.
Anybody who thinks that's, and again, you have to kind of remove yourself as being, you know, what we perceive ourselves as human
right.
beings, and think of it in terms of nature. In terms of nature, it's exactly like what every other animal species
right.
does.
Yeah, it's survival. Sure, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I remember him telling me, you know, when he was telling me this story. I remember specifically when he was telling me about the noises this thing was making, the vocalizations. You could see it. I could see it in his eyes that, you know, something scared him. You know.
Was he able to imitate the sounds at all?
A little bit. I think the problem being was, you know, his voice hasn't really masculinized yet.
Hasn't changed.
He was trying, but I think I get the general idea. He said it was like he used the word yell specifically. It was like I think, what did he say? He said something to me after, it was like a growl yell, I think he used, but.
Was it kind of the typical long drawn out, you know, starting low and going high type
yeah.
of sound? Now there are other types, of course, but that's kind of the typical.
Yeah, he was specific about the low to high, I believe. Yeah, he but something scared him. I got the impression that, you know, at the time he knew something. Those kids knew something was with them. You know what I mean? I don't know if they necessarily knew what it was at the time. I think she did.
You're right. I think it was interesting too. He mentioned, and I don't think that portion's actually on the recording. We talked to him, and he couldn't remember. He'd seen one show that dealt with the. I hate using the term paranormal, but I think it was Monster
yes.
Quest that you figured out that he had seen. So he wasn't really indoctrinated into
no,
the topic
not,
before.
Not at
happened.
All. Not at all.
See, and that's important. That's important because some people can. As artifacts of their explanation, you know, whatever it is they picked up from television or radio or wherever, or books or what have you, you know, they can add those elements into a story that they're telling inadvertently. But he didn't have that information.
Not anywhere near as much as he would have needed for the story he told me.
Yeah, I thought that was
it was. I thought he did a hell of a job. Yeah, something scared the bejesus out of those kids that day, you know. And as far as what she, you know, when I spoke to his the mother, apparently the stuff was still going on. Now, what had happened was the aunt, the one that was with them that day on the walk, what had happened after I had spoken with the other sister-in-law the very first time, the aunt that had taken them, she passed away. So they had spent some time away from up there. Now, from what I gather, stuff was starting to happen again, so much to the point as some of the family members stopped coming around.
Did she elaborate about what kind
just of things the same old you know, the walking across the porch, you know, the screaming in the windows, the rocks being thrown, you know,
they were screaming in the windows. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but they were screaming
at the windows, tapping on the windows, tapping on the walls outside the camp. Yeah, you name it. They were doing, it was getting a little bit out of hand, so much to the point people weren't really coming around anymore.
How many people were experiencing this?
All the adults in the family, you know, there was three brothers, one sister, and all their spouses.
And over what kind of a time frame?
A couple years, a couple seasons.
That's a long time.
Yeah. It started small and escalated, you know. But the owners are still in denial about the whole thing.
Now, for listeners who don't know about this, and this is one of the things that happens a lot, is when they seem to fixate on a place or even a group of people, the behaviors start out slow and then they escalate. How did that happen in this case? Just for people who don't know.
They were finding the first. They were finding the footprints. The old man found a set of tracks. There was three tracks leading from the kitchen, right where the kitchen sink was, where the wife did dishes, leading right to that from the wood line.
So the first time they saw anything was right next
to the house. And then you know, they would start seeing track lines, you know, a track here and there, you know, and then it would, they'd hear vocalizations, screams at night, weird howls, specific howls, like, you know, like we always talk about, like coyotes, you know, but, you know, you can tell it's different. Now, these people grew up here, you know what I mean? They know what's what. So they knew it was something different, you know, it wasn't
right.
It wasn't the regular old coyote howls during the middle of the night or regular animal vocalizations, you know. So it started with the, you know, vocalizations. They'd hear knocks.
And these are people who know the sounds of the forest.
They know the sounds of the forest, especially up there. You know, there's a very remote area, extremely remote. You can only get to that camp by, you have to come in by boat. You know,
so it's not a typical public camp. People can drive in from the city and wherever.
It's not a state beach. You know what I mean? It's not a state campground. It's just it's remote. Okay. So a lot of activity. But I talked to his mother that day when I met up with them for that for the interview, and I haven't heard from any of them since. You know. I hope they didn't have any real issues, but, you know, it's hard to tell in those situations, you know.
What do you think, I guess my question is, a lot of times people don't reach out to somebody. Any idea, did they say why they reached out and contacted you?
It wasn't the parents, they could care less. They're basically in denial because they don't want to admit that there's a problem on this beautiful, on this beautiful piece of property. They, you know, they spent their savings on it. It's their retirement home, you know. So they're in denial about the whole thing.
Right.
You know, the sons, you know, and their spouses and the daughter, you know, and her husband, they had all had enough. They thought the whole situation was kind of getting out of control, you know. So they took it upon themselves to start doing some research and seeing, looking into the issue.
Now, has there been any more aggressive type behaviors than the, you know, the screaming at windows and things like that? I mean, are things being thrown at people? Has there been any? I'm sure.
Oh yeah. They, actually the lady, the aunt of this little boy, and not the one that took him on the little walk, but the one that originally called me and her husband, they had their own encounter. The police officer and his wife, they saw the one, it was grubbing around right in the shore. He, like I said, he was taking his last cast. They were pike fishing. And they watched this thing for about 30 seconds by the shore. There's, you know, I think everyone in the family has had their own experience, not necessarily an encounter. You know, a sighting, but they've all had some up close and personal experiences. One of these things, bluff charged one of the aunts and her husband one night. Not really a bluff charge. She said it took a couple steps towards him and kind of gave him the eyes and turned around and walked back into the wood line.
I was going to ask you if you knew any of the details of that situation.
It wasn't a bluff per se. She said it took a couple steps towards him, gave him the eyeballs and turned around and walked away. You know,
well, I'd say that.
I'd say so too. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to be able to go through each of those encounters and kind of get an idea of what those creatures are really.
Well,
doing
why I'm hoping to get, you know, reconnected with this family. You know, I've been trying to give them a little bit of time before I, you know, reached out and tried to get a hold of them again. You know, but yeah, I'm hoping to get reconnected with this family. At least to hear that everything is okay, you know, up there, you know, because they were just getting to the point where, you know, it was getting to be quite the situation, especially with whenever there was kids involved, you know.
Yeah, and you know, for those listening, we actually get more of those kind of situations than is really put out there to the public. A lot of times, especially when children are involved, the witnesses want to, for obvious reasons, want to keep privacy for themselves and their families. So they don't want the information put out in public. We do our best to help them. And so far we've had a pretty good success rate with helping families and individuals keep the creatures away from their homes or to discourage them from coming around anymore at all. So we do have some very specific techniques that we use that do work.
You know, and it was getting, and the first thing they said to me, you know, they, like I told you, they, and we've heard this, when there really is something going on at a residence or a camp like this, there's only one thing on these individuals' minds, and that is, how do I get rid of them? You know,
right, exactly. Right. Yeah, it's not, the witnesses don't want to see them. They don't want to encourage them.
Absolutely not. And then that's the first thing these people said to me was, how can we get rid of them? They don't want to see them, you know?
You know, that's an interesting point, because we get these people, especially you see them on Facebook, and you know that they make the claims that they've got Sasquatch friends or the forest people friends, and they want this relationship. Whereas we on the other hand, the opposite side of the coin, we get a lot of these people, and it's almost exact every single time what the people say. We want them gone. Yeah. We're scared. We don't want anything to do with this. Where, you know, I mean, if those of you listening were to see in detail what both sides say, you would say, well, the people that are encouraging this, who think they're their friends, are all crackpots, because there's so much there's so many differences on from what people say on that side. Whereas the people who want these things gone, the evidence,
yeah,
the behaviors, their outlook is almost universally, virtually, yes, identical. Is.
Yeah. No, it's not a situation that should be taken lightly. You know, if there is a situation going on, yeah, I mean, can't take it lightly. So I mean,
well, and again, you're talking about wild creatures; they're predators, and really, when you look at the bulk of information throughout history, when they're coming around people like that, it's not for any sort of good purposes, at least on our end.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right, Jeremiah, we're just about out of time.
No, like, you know, same advice I always give, you know, like, we always say, well, it's not like we think that these things are out there trying to put a, commit genocide on the human race, but you just got to be weary, you know, just like you'd be weary of a grizzly bear. That's all.
You treat these things like you would a bear. Know? Well, hang on a minute, buddy. I'm going to wrap this up and then we'll chat afterwards. Well, great job, Jeremiah, as always. Very interesting interview, and again, it's one of those we don't hear very often. We'd like to hear more from young people, because again, they have a great outlook. It's very unfiltered. When they see or hear something, you get what happened. Everyone, check out again my website, williamjevning.com. This show, Bigfoot Notes from the Field, is, of course, on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, Podbean, iTunes, SoundCloud, and I'm trying to get it on Google Play. I'm not sure if I've been successful there yet. But so visit us again next week. We decided to move the show to Wednesday evenings. So, and again, you can download it anytime throughout the week, but if you want to catch it when it first airs, it's going to be on Wednesday evenings now. So come visit us every week, everyone. We'll see you again next week. I'm your host, William Jevning.